dream last night. A vision. I saw a world full of people. Everybody was dancing and screaming loud. They were just there to listen to the music. It was deep. It was underground. Let's turn the world into a dance floor.
Are you guys ready for a state of trance? Put your hands in the air. Come on.
This is a State of Trance podcast.
What's up? My name is Ruben Ron and welcome to a State of Trance podcast. And this is one I've been looking forward to because in the studio today, Steven Baan, a.k.a. Estiva, a.k.a. since a few weeks. Kudus, how are you doing, man?
Good. Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
How are you feeling?
Yeah, pretty excited to be here on the podcast.
Yeah.
And as Kudus, I'm performing, doing a little set in a State of Trance. So yeah. It's pretty exciting.
We're getting to that in just a little bit. But first, what I always do in this podcast is to go back in time. Way back in time. Because I want to know from you, at what moment did you find out that you wanted to become a DJ / producer?
It was actually very, very gradual. But I do remember in 2007, a track called Stella was picked up by Armin. Mm-hmm. On a State of Trance, and then back in that time I was always listening to Tiësto's In Search of Sunrise and Armin's A State of Trance.
Mm-hmm.
And I really, really vividly remember the moment that Armin mixed in my track. Mm-hmm. You could hear the percussion coming in and I was like, no, can't be. And yes, that was one of my own tracks. And at that moment I thought, okay, I'm on the right path.
Mm-hmm.
But there wasn't really a moment that I thought, okay, this is what I want to do. It just, evolved into something that I could do for a living.
Mm-hmm.
And there was never a certain moment I thought, okay, yeah, now I'm where I want to be. No, never.
And when did you start to make, when was the first time that you were like, hey, I want to start making music? Like, what triggered you to become a musician yourself?
Yeah, I was. I remember always listening to music a lot, dance music,
mm-hmm.
and I had this piece of software called Magic's Music Maker,
mm-hmm.
and it kind of had the same sounds as the music I was listening to. So that triggered me into exploring it a little bit, and basically it was blocks of pre-recorded music that you could arrange yourself, but. Creatively, it was very limited. You could only use the pieces that you've been given. But I managed to cut every little thing up and rearranged it. And I think my brother saw that I was a bit struggling with getting more creative. And he said, "Hey, maybe you should try this software where you have a lot more freedom." And that was Fruity Loops at mm-hmm. FL Studio nowadays. What was your question?
What was the moment that you started making music? So I guess, you started with listening to music, dance music, and then you were like, hey, I want to do this Magic's Music Maker. I think, to be honest, a lot of producers have started out like that.
Yeah,
because you had the Magic's Music Maker, you had Techno EJ, which I used in the beginning also.
Yeah.
So it was like an introduction into dance music. And it's really funny to me that a whole generation basically started making music like that.
You know, it's taught you the basics of the structure, of the layout, mm-hmm. of how dance music is made. You had beats, you had percussion, you had basses, and more
the just the correct layering of everything.
Yeah.
So then you started doing Magic Music Maker, then you made the switch to Fruity Loops. And which year are we in right now?
FL Studio 21 or 20, I don't know, but they changed from 12 to 20. But I remember when I started, it was Fruity Loops 4 or something, and I'm still using FL Studio.
Okay, so this was maybe 2004 or 5?
Oh, yeah.
yeah, bringing the questions.
Yeah.
Now, what I'm aiming to get here right now, because 2007 was your first release, Stella.
Yeah. I think I was.
I always try to figure out how long does it take a person to start making music and to get to the certain level that you were when you were releasing Stella.
Yeah, it obviously it differs from person to person, and it also I think nowadays it's a lot easier to get to something that really sounds good because the software has evolved
massively.
Yeah, and it was already really good when I started. I can't imagine doing the same thing 30, 40 years ago because that was basically all hardware.
Yeah.
And I kind of grew up with all the software coming out. So, yeah. For me, it took about, I remember I was 10, 11, 12 that I started with music and I was...
1920 when Stella came out.
Yeah, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I think, yeah, 2000. Yeah, because you're from 1987, right?
Yep.
Yeah, there you go. Easy.
Yeah, but it could be done a lot faster or a lot. So yeah, it also depends how much time you spend on a hobby like that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I'm still writing music every single day. And the more hours you put in it, the better you get at it.
That's very true. And then you had your first releases. Music has evolved a lot of times throughout these times. And when I look at your career and the music that you made there was like a... you started with, more, I would say, more, almost uplifting kind of stuff. You turn into the progressive and now you're more into the house kind of stuff.
Yeah, and... I grew up with happy hardcore, so I remember, yeah. Oh, yeah.
A lot of us did.
Yeah, I never released any happy hardcore, but I definitely made it. I definitely wanted to sound my music. I wanted to make sound like happy hardcore, but when I finally started to release tracks, I was heavily inspired by State of Trance. And I don't think my music was as fast. BPM-wise, it was... around 130, 132.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But really high energy. And yeah, I was always also very much influenced by Gesto's In Search of Sunrise, which had a lot of melody in it. So it was kind of a mix of that. And then I lowered my tempo. And I always feel like when you lower your tempo, you have more room for...
grooves.
For grooves, yeah. Yeah. There's a little bit more room. I guess get less static, but mm-hmm. it loses a little bit of the energy, but
you still make up with it with the melodies and with the grooves, I guess.
Yeah, just I mean, my whole career when I write music, it's always challenging yourself to do something new. If I'm stuck in the same thing, I get bored, so I try new things, and sometimes I go a little bit slower and sometimes you go a little bit more energy again, so it's always evolving.
I think that's a very strong thing to do because there's a lot of producers that when they start music, they get certain fans and then they stop making music for them for themselves, but they just make music to cater to the fans.
Yeah.
I think you're doing pretty much the opposite.
Well, I've found myself in that situation. I don't know, when was the really big EDM boom? When
2013, 14, I guess.
Yeah, I got to be honest, I was influenced by that as well. And at that time, I thought it was really cool because I got to work with a lot of vocalists.
Mm-hmm.
And it was challenging to make your music sound really banging. And
everything was for the main stages.
Yeah, yeah. And but after a few years, I wasn't feeling it because it wasn't me.
Mm-hmm.
So I went a little bit too far, I guess. But I recovered from that, and nowadays I'm just writing music that comes up in my head. So
yeah.
Everything is pure me, and I feel really comfortable doing that.
Awesome. Yeah, I remember a pivotal moment also for my own label Statement Recordings was when I have to think who it was that sent the first demos to me. At least I know I was sitting upstairs, and the A&R at the moment was like, "Hey, Ruben, there's some stuff from Estival coming in for us. Do you want to check it out for a Statement?" I'm like, Estevan makes this EDM stuff. It's not really my kind of thing. And from that moment, I was blown away by everything, because I think you sent some stuff and I played a State of Trance main stage in Utrecht, I think not too long after that. And I played some new music from you over there. And I was just blown away that it was progressive, but it was, you took elements from the big room stuff as well. Like, it was a blend of everything.
Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned it, because that was, that kind of music was made in a time where I was completely lost. I stopped writing music for maybe half a year,
mm-hmm.
because yeah, I didn't know.
You didn't have any inspiration. You didn't know what to do. Yeah.
No, I was fed up with what I was making. And I thought, okay, this is just it. It was fun, but now I'm going to do something else. I'm not going to make it music anymore. But then after a few months, I really felt like getting back in the studio again. So I started to just write whatever without thinking about what people wanted to hear.
You made music for yourself.
Yeah. And after a while, I thought, okay, well, I have this bunch of music. What am I going to do about with this? It's kind of good. I'm not sure about it, but it feels right. So, and then it got on your desk. And from there on, we had a lot of statement releases. And it was, when I look back at that time, that was, I was really happy, because yeah, it was all the way up for me from them. Kind of in a,
and you didn't expect it, because you made the music for yourself. Yeah. And then it, yeah.
Yeah, I was pretty down back then. And then because I was just writing music that I wanted to write, I got out of that negative spiral. So that's pretty good things back then.
Yeah, it's good times. I mean, it's still good times. It's just different times.
Yeah.
And now you're evolved into more the I would say deep house, melodic techno. How do you call it yourself? Like the last couple of releases of Estevan are, I would say, between 120, 123 BPM, yeah. Something like that. Yeah. A lot of groove, but also a lot of vocals.
Yeah, it's, I think it's a mix of progressive house and melodic techno. There's still a lot of trancey elements, and there's a lot of groove as well. Yeah. I always find it so hard to pin down what kind of music it is.
I guess that's a good thing. You don't have to put it in a box, right?
Yeah, yeah. And it's basically, the music I write now is also, it varies a little bit from time to time, because I like playing longer sets. So sometimes I feel like, making a really deep track, because when I play 3 hours, I want to start out the first hour a little bit slower.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's room for more energetic tracks.
Yeah. And then even though you're making like melodic or deeper stuff, at the end of the year, last year, I remember that Ferry Korsten put one of your tunes in his top five of the year. And also I also put it, Tempest Delirium, in my top five. So you want to get away from the trance guys, and here you are.
Yeah.
Well, sorry for that.
No, it's really great that you guys still notice the tracks. It's a big compliment, of course.
How long does it take you to make a track? Because when I listen to your tunes, there are so much details and everything.
Yeah, the good tracks, the best tracks are always done the quickest. Maybe sometimes like 4 hours, because when it's right, it just flows out of you. And the lesser tracks tend to take me a lot more time.
I'm so jealous of you, man, that you can make music so fast. But I think it's also, for the producer people under us, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, the way that you're making music is not necessarily stacking a lot of sounds on top of each other, but just take one sound and just make it really fat.
Yeah, it's, and I've learned this in the years that I'm producing. I used to be like, oh, just need to add more sounds.
Stack,
and more reverb, more delays. But nowadays, I just, when you have like a really clean beat, you can start working on a top line, a top melody, and just make it really clean, but make everything what you add to it, like delay or reverb, make it count, and never lose the end mix down out of sight in you. Mm-hmm. It's not always a solution to just add more, because when you're in a club, the big things you hear is just the bass. and a standout melody. When you just cram in a lot of sounds, it's just going to be an annoying wall of sound, basically.
And I know that you use a lot of Valhalla stuff. You're a big fan of that. So we're talking about the shimmer and the reverb and the vintage and room.
Yeah, vintage verb is one of my favorites.
Yeah. And then I'm just wondering, just diving into that a little bit more, like what is your go-to plugin right now that you use on every single track?
Yeah, it's definitely...
Without the Valhalla stuff. Oh. Because we know that. We want to have the secrets.
Ooh. Grossbeat. It's an FL Studio native plugin.
Oh, no.
I like to use it a lot. Yeah, it's... You can cut things up and get real creative with. Wow, I have to think about it. It's just so much fun. What I do in the studio is on automatic pilot. So,
yeah. So you know exactly what you want to put in and then you put it in and it's... Do you use a lot of channel strips?
I want to talk about the Valhalla plugins again.
No, you can. Go ahead.
No, I'm just picturing my... my buses right now, and all I see is Valhalla plugins. And I'm like I said, I do everything on automatic pilot. So you're asking me what plugins I use the most.
Let's say you always have these really dirty low ends. Like, what is your synth for low ends?
I think I use Massive and Massive X by Native Instruments a lot for the low ends.
Mm-hmm.
But the plugins, the VSTs I use the most are the UHE Urs Heckman, I think it is, which is Diva and the Repro 1 and 2. They're
alive. Sounds that are alive.
Yeah, they move. Very analog sounding, warm sounds. And they really cater to that sound that I want, which is quite simple, but...
But not.
Yeah, I guess.
Because I think...
It's the X factor. It has the X factor.
Yeah, but your tracks are always moving. There's so much automation going on, right? You always have...
Yeah, and that's something I also learned as well. When you have a cool sound, the sound in itself, it's cool, but it makes it so much better when you start automating little knobs and you can... It's like... That specific sound can travel a whole journey. And when you put it into that track and just make it move for three minutes long, you go, the easiest thing is just to play with the cutoff, the filter. But there's so many other LFO tricks you can do with the synth to make it interesting. And even though it's just a little bit, it can make your tracks come alive a lot more. And when everything comes together, then you feel like, oh, what's going on? And every time you listen to a track, you hear something new. And that's what I always like with tracks about from someone else. I just listen to the sound and see where it's going. And it never gets boring because it's always running to a different corner.
Yeah, I think the best way to describe your music, at least how I see it, is it's like a painting. You just look at it and listen to it, to all the details and everything that's going on.
That's beautiful.
But somehow it still works on the dance floors as well, because there's always moments in a track that you produce that are bass facey.
Yeah, not always though.
Always a moment in there you're like, yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But the fun thing is when I'm going to events myself, there's always moments on a dance floor that you really want that energy. But there's also moments that you want to just float away in space and time, basically. So you don't need that bass face moment.
Yeah.
Just close your eyes and dream away.
I love that. Well, we are getting too much into detail with that, because I still have a lot of questions. I don't think we ever had this many questions submitted. And the funny thing is that half of them are by Tone Ross. So I'll just pick some out of it. Peter Reiser Music wants to know, what is your biggest dream with music?
That's easy. Yeah, it's an easy answer. I just want to do this every day as long as I enjoy it and don't have to worry about, like, I want to make a living out of it, basically. Mm-hmm. And I want to do it every day as long as I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, and you're still enjoying it?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Awesome. Juanes 12.07 wants to know, when will you release the IDs that you played on the State of Trance 950?
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, that's fun because it could be a Kudush track or it could be an Estiva track. You don't want to know how many tracks I've finished. Mm-hmm. And there's definitely ID tracks in 950 that I still haven't finished. I can't give a definitive answer, but... Slowly but surely. Yeah.
Because I was telling you about as well, Fleur, for example, that you released.
Yeah.
Or Love are actually tracks that you also sent to me maybe in 2018, 19.
Yeah.
Played it in so many sets and only now that they are coming out.
Yeah. And the Need You track, which is now Limitless.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
so there's a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I'm actually sitting on a tune called, I don't know if I should say this, Nostalgia.
Yeah.
That tune is unbelievable. That's one of my favorite tunes that you ever made. And I just hope that you're never going to release it so I can keep on playing myself.
It is getting a release, but but I can't tell where yet, but we have big plans with it.
Yeah. Intrigued.
Well, it might take a while, so go ahead.
Okay. I'll play a little bit more then. Lalo de Bruin, and this is actually something that you mentioned in the regular episode of A State of Trance. When will it be time for the new Metamorphosis album? Well, it's not going to be the same album, but you said already something that you're working on something right now while my alarm goes off because of my park line. Sorry about that.
The new album, there definitely needs to be. Metamorphosis was in 2019.
Yeah.
We're in 22 now. So people have been patient, but I definitely have all the material. But I still want to add more material to just have a bigger pool of tracks to pick out for the album.
Aren't you afraid that you will take it too far and then lose out on tracks that you should actually put on there?
Well, maybe. Now I'm getting insecure.
Exactly.
Okay, album drops tomorrow.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, but I think... I know you a little bit, so I know that at least you're going to have... Right now, you're probably sitting on like 70 finished tracks.
No, it's a little less.
Or let's say setups at least.
Yeah.
So let's say you have 50 finished ones and then still a couple of good ideas that are waiting for vocals and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Let's say this. I will release my album end... 22, beginning 23.
Okay.
And it's not a hard date, but we're aiming at that. And I'm just going to write a few more tracks and then we'll see what happens, how the album comes along. But I'm always releasing a lot of singles around it as well, which have nothing to do with the album. So mm-hmm. I'm still going to put out a lot of music. So, yeah.
And here we go. The first question from Ton Ross. What is your dream collab?
Good question. I would love to write a track with London Grammar, actually.
Oh,
yeah,
that's a good one.
I have a lot of edits with my own tracks with her voice on it, or just remixes or bootlegs with them. And her voice is beautiful, and I think it works really well with club music and her dreamy vocals. It's a good fit, so. That's a pretty good dream collab, isn't it?
I'm pretty sure you can make it someday. Why not?
Let's manifest it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Next question. Let's pick another one from Tone Rolls because it is actually a good sound. Good question. What has been the weirdest sound you ever added to a track? The infamous pool balls or the cue.
Those work really well. actually in Nostalgia, which isn't out yet, but Ruben apparently plays a lot.
Yeah.
There is a, I have this little field recorder that I take with me when I go on walks outside and I just record little clicks of twigs or stone or grit, and I use them as percussion, but I also record some like atmospheric sounds, just a car driving by or a bicycle driving by or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I do this in the house as well. So at one point I was recording in the house and then my girlfriend pops up in the living room asking me about the ferry times. I live in Amsterdam. You have a ferry to go across the Eye. So that got recorded and she was just basically a little bit shouting, what time's the ferry? Blah, blah, blah.
Stephen, hurry up.
And I recorded that and I was going through all the recordings later. And I picked that sound or that voice clip and I looped it in the back of nostalgia over and over again. So when you listen really, really closely, you can hear what's going on there. But it's just like an atmospherical layer in the track. But it's not musical at all. It's just filling up spaces, I guess.
Is that a trick that you do more often? Like if we listen to your tracks, there's always like Easter eggs in there or
yeah.
You do that on purpose?
Well, it's kind of a cool thing, but you can't really notice it because you don't know what's going on. But I hear it and I sometimes tell people about it and I wonder if people will notice if this track ever gets released.
I'm surprised. Do you hear it more often that people say about the pool balls? That people say it or no?
I think it's mainly you, yeah.
Yeah, because, and now probably when people are... Which track is it again that you have it?
I think it's in Two Tigers.
Yeah.
It's in
more tracks.
Yeah. I think it's in quite a few tracks on Metamorphosis.
It's so funny.
Maybe even on Spectacle as well. And the pool balls are going to be back for the new album.
Well, it's such a cool sound because it's... Yeah, it just makes sense. It's a good percussion sound.
Yeah, it's a very ASMR-y.
Yeah. I actually did it as well in my on my Story album from, I think it was 2017. The track called Eskai did the same thing, the pool balls.
With the pool balls?
Yeah.
Did I nick it from you?
No, I don't know.
Was I inspired by some of your tracks?
Maybe unconsciously. Yeah, maybe. Next question. Elena69, what is your hobby beside music? That's number one. And she has another one. When will you make another epic track with Ruben Ron?
Good questions. I love running and cycling, but I have a big passion for soccer, football. I don't know where the listeners are from, but it's just look up Ajax Amsterdam.
9 minutes long.
Yeah. I love football and I love Ajax Amsterdam. I have a lot of hobbies. I like going out that's music again.
You like going out? Well, that's not necessarily... Because you like to enjoy going to parties as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love experiencing the music as well as writing it.
Mm-hmm. And you just mentioned it, your passion for Ajax. That gives us a little sidestep because you just started Kudus.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually a player of Ajax. But it's actually your new alias where you are diving more into the old Estiva sounds, I guess, while Estiva steered away more to the deeper.
Yeah.
But you... still had the passion to making the progressive trends kind of things. And yeah, now you finally have an outlet for it.
Yeah, I felt like I was steering away a little bit more from what I did in 2017 and 18. I still love that sound, but I was just writing different tracks more and more and going a little bit deeper. It was in 2020, I think. I was just going through projects and I felt like there were so many good tracks still unreleased, but they didn't necessarily fit my current Estiva sound.
Mm-hmm.
So I took them and I finished them and I thought, okay, let's just make a new alias and release the tracks.
And here we are. So basically all the tracks that we're listening to right now, the Kudus stuff, is it all created in 2019, 2020 and finished right now, or is it also new stuff?
Some of the tracks are finished back then. Some of the tracks were half finished and finished, completely finished now in 2022 or 21.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the tracks are just completely new. I'm still writing new stuff for Kudus. So it's not always old, but definitely when there's a really good project or a really good idea, a theme, I will definitely use it for a new track.
Awesome.
Oh, and when's the new collab? When are we going to do a new collab?
Yeah.
Well, we have two. We can do an Estiva in Ruben de Ronde or Ruben de Ronde in Kudus.
Yeah, let's do it. I'm down.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there the next question is actually about one of the collabs that we did. We did three collabs. We did Rainbow, we did Horosho, and mm-hmm. we did Donny. Donny is another tune that's related to Ajax, with Donny van de Beek, of course. Now playing at Everton.
Yeah.
Because Manchester United doesn't understand what's going on.
Well, they do understand because they also
steal our, they steal our trainer.
Yeah.
Anyway, what's the inspiration behind Rainbow with Ruben de Ronde? This question by Amy's Done.
Yeah, I think Rainbow is the project that I had the most warm feelings. I had the most fun with, because obviously when you write a track together, you have a lot more feeling with it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's just different because I usually just write tracks on my own. I never get tired of that feeling when I tell the story, but I remember when you send that floating you just sent me that, and I think at the time I thought, okay, maybe the track's ready, but when you send that, everything fell into the right every puzzle piece fitted, and it's just still such a good track.
It is. And a few weeks ago I played State of Trends LA. I played four sets and I played it every single set. I still do, because I think it's one of the most requested sets in the world. I always play the ASOT 900 version that you made, because it's easy to mix it in.
Yeah.
Because somehow in the original extended mix, we started with the melodies already. Yeah. It's super nice to mix in, to be honest. So that's the way to do it. And still, it just, I don't know, it just goes off. It's not even that hard, the track, but it just goes off.
And it's a sing-along track as well. Yeah. I noticed people are like...
yeah, it is.
I do it myself when I play.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. And I wonder if you put a microphone on when you play it. It's hilarious. But you wouldn't play it into an Estiva set anymore. It would go into a Kudus set, I guess.
For you. I would definitely play it as Kudus, but I could play it like when I do an all-nighter as Estiva.
Mm-hmm.
Open to close. There's definitely room for that stuff.
Yeah. Why not? Last question is actually one of Tone Ross as well, because he has so many good questions. Will we ever two actually? Will we ever get Estiva merch? It's an easy yes or no.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good idea. I'm always busy writing music, and I don't really think about this.
We need Estiva dad hats, because you always wear the dad hats.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would love one of those too. And what is your proudest achievement so far in your career?
I think being able to make a living out of it. And it's very close to my biggest dream, is just keep on doing this. So I feel really happy about the fact that I can just write music every single day, and I can earn my living from that. I think that's a really big achievement. And like a sub achievement would be stop thinking, stop worrying about what people want to hear, because you can't predict that. And you stop following your heart. And right now, just since, when is it, 2017, I just write whatever comes up in my mind, basically. Mm-hmm. And I try to translate it as good as possible into the computer and out of the speakers. And I'm pretty proud that I'm more comfortable and more comfortable each day with that.
Do you ever experience, because that's one of the topics that I always touch upon also in these podcasts, do you ever hit those moments that you can't make music? You just hit like a brick wall?
Not necessarily anymore, because it sounds quite egoistic, but I write music for myself. So when I want to write music, I write music and I have fun. And then if an end project comes out of it, I can release that. But if I'm not feeling it a specific day, I'm just not feeling it. I just won't write music.
You step away, put on your PlayStation.
And I guess
you do something else.
Yeah. Yeah. I've learned that you sometimes, you just don't have the inspiration. Just go walk outside or be with friends, or I can't force it. And as soon as you try to force it, it never goes the right way. And I think I'm just lucky that I found some sort of peace of mind. And that really works for me, for my workflow.
I think it also has to do with your obsession with plants in the studio.
Plants are good in the studio, yeah.
All right, well, that's it already. Thank you so much for answering all these questions. I wish you all the best and the luck that I can wish someone. Of course, let's get those collabs going, the Estiva and the Kudus track.
Thanks
let's
make another banger.
And yeah, we'll see you next time. When you finish the album.
Oh yeah, much earlier probably.
Okay, well, that sounds good. All right, that's it for this podcast. Next time we're going to have Matt Fax in the studio. He's here to present his new album X. If you have any questions for him, drop them down here in the comment section. And we'll see you next time for a new podcast. Bye-bye.
Thanks for tuning in. To check full episodes of A State of Trance for free, simply visit armandradio.com. A State of Trance returns next week.